today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
When they say that he'll fix your problems, they don't tell you that he fixes your problems as he deals with your heart and your sin. Yeah, a lot of the problems. He doesn't just take it and go, you've messed your life up. Let me fix this for you and fix it and give it back. There are some things, man, he does in your heart. He has removed addictions. He has removed certain things from people's lives. Maybe the struggle would be too much for them, but there's some things that God just removes. But there are a lot of things that we struggle through.
You need a Savior. Giving your life is the easy part, but living life as a follower of Jesus isn't easy in the way that we imagine. Outside of our hearts, everything else in our life, the people, the circumstances, well, they remain the same. But with devotion comes perseverance, and as He works in us, change. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message today. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, as we join Pastor Troy for part one of our message entitled, Salvation is Serious Business.
There's more to life than just getting saved and ordering your life. Some live their Christianity out in such a way that they receive salvation and then it's like this personal thing. Just me and the Lord. I'm growing. I'm working on me. And though that process must take place, it's always going on. There's more to it than that because there's a lost world. And Jesus has called us as we grow to allow our lights to actually shine, to let people know we are a Christian. That there is a God, that Jesus is risen, that He's alive and active. His Word is truth. And it's a message that the world needs to hear. And so we see today, Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He's telling them now, they have been ordering their own lives. They've left things, they've left homes, they've left the tax table, and they've come and they're following and they're learning from Him, and it's great. It's church. It's just going to church. They're just following Jesus. But now He says, look, you need to go and reproduce. You need to go and do the same things. You need to speak out. You don't just live your life and hope they get the message of salvation. We also must share that message. So, salvation is the point. Not morality. Redemption. Jesus died not to make you more moral. That's part of the process, the sanctification process. He died not just so that you can get your family in shape. That's part of the process. But He died that you might be saved and so that you could turn and become a light because there are others who need salvation. Salvation to God is serious business. Paul said that the wages of sin is death. But that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The dividing line is Jesus. Not this sin, not that sin, not 50-50. I was better than worse, so I'm going to heaven. There's no such moral dividing line there. The dividing line is Jesus. Jesus has marched through every generation, every nation, tribe, language of people. And He has said one thing, follow me. Repent and follow me. Repent would be like you got your hands on certain things and you're doing these. And these cause you not to follow Him. So as He walks by, He says, repent and follow me. That would mean drop it all and follow Him. And so He goes throughout every generation calling men and women to repent and follow Him. Follow Him and live is one option. The other option is enjoy your life and let that be the best you'll ever experience, because after that is destruction, hell. The battle to cross that line, Jesus draws that line in the sand, and following him is that line. To cross that line, you'd think it'd be easier, but it is a serious, intense battle. I do remember sitting in a seat just like this at the church, Calvary in Albuquerque, and they gave the altar call. I had never really experienced an altar call. I always knew I loved Jesus and loved God and all this stuff, but I'd never been asked to make a public declaration of my faith, to say, I want you to be Lord of my life. Will you take over? Never experienced that in my life. And so here I am. I'm going, oh, Lord, I love you, but I don't think I can do all this. I don't think I can change. I don't think I can do all that. And it was a heavy, heavy battle. I chose not to cross the line that day. But that whole week, I recognized something that I never recognized before. I just chose to deny him. I never thought I ever would. And yet, when given the opportunity, I did. It was a horrible week for me. I couldn't wait. Now, I didn't know I could drop to my knees and just say, I receive you right now. I didn't know I could do that. I was looking forward to church the next week, because that whole week I said, I'm going back. When they do the altar call, I'm going forward. I love you, Lord, and I'm going to do this. And even that second week, though I did it, it was a battle. The enemy, your flesh, everything says, I don't want to give up the steering wheel. I don't want to stop controlling everything. And man, if you control everything, you're going to have me like dressing in white robes and going off to the Sudan. And I just don't want all that for my life, Lord. And it's scary to give up control, but he is God. He is God. He's the author of salvation. He determines what the line is. And that line is Jesus Christ, following him. It's serious business. So serious that God loved you and I enough that he sent his son, that Jesus came down not just to proclaim, but he actually gave his life. He died a brutal death. Torture on the cross, that we might have eternal life. So Jesus came and he died, and it's the message that people don't like to hear. Because to hear that Jesus died is to hear that he died for your sin. And that's, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, hey, I'm a good person. I'm not saying you're not a good person. We have to define our terms here, though. Jesus said, none are good, so obviously good is like very good, better than our good. But the dividing line is Jesus. So though you're a good person, and maybe your good outweighs your bad, and comparatively speaking, you're not nearly as bad as that person. And yeah, maybe you've defined sin as those things, but not some of the things you do. It doesn't matter, because it's not about finding this moral line in the sand. It is about what you do with Jesus. Will you follow him? Will you let him be Lord? He's supposed to be, and he is anyway. One day it says every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. But today, while you have life, while he's given you life, what will you do with him? And that's a message that angers people, because they don't like to hear that they're a sinner. And it's the message that the disciples right now are being prepared to share. Now, we need the context before we get right into our next verse. But the disciples are being sent only to the house of Israel. Jesus is not dead yet, and he's not risen. He's walking with them. He's sending them out. So their message isn't the message of sin, repentance, resurrection, eternal life, yet. They are going only to the lost house of Israel, saying this one thing. The kingdom of heaven is here. The Messiah has come. He is Jesus. Because God is collecting to himself those that he had promised he'd go to, and that they would turn and go out and share the full message. So Jesus has come to them, and they're being prepared to share some very hard words. Now, people don't like to hear that they're sinners, but the Jews also didn't like to hear that Jesus was the Messiah. It was not a very popular message. They didn't like him. And so he says to them, as he's sending them out on this trial mission, "Behold," verse 16, "I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves." He's telling them, it's not going to be easy for you. Do you see the picture here? If you were to put a sheep and a wolf together in an area, the sheep's not going to cause any problems. They don't cause problems. They just run around, eat. But the wolf will aggressively be after that sheep. Even if the wolf isn't hungry, wolves just love to kill. And so it would go after that sheep to devour and destroy that sheep. That's the picture here. Jesus is teaching them to be humble. He's teaching them to be forgiving, to be kind, and to be gentle. And then he says, but I'm sending you out into a world that is not going to be like that. He's teaching them to turn their cheek, not to respond to evil with evil, but he's sending them into an evil, wicked, selfish world. You know, some share Christ like he's a Club Med or a vacation package. Like, hey, you know, here's what you need to do. Just give your life to the Lord. Gloss over that part. And then they say things like, he loves you. He'll never forsake you. He saves you. He'll fix your problems. He'll fix your marriage. He will bless you. Now, what Jesus has done right now is right up front, he has kind of gotten rid of any romantic ideas they may have had of ministry or serving him in this capacity, being a witness. You know, they may have thought, oh, it's going to be great. Jesus is doing miracles and he's doing all this stuff. They were going to kill him, but he walks away. You know, it's awesome. So maybe they're thinking, yeah, this is going to be cool. And he says, whoa, whoa, I'm sending you out into dangerous territory. It's not going to be cool and fun. It's going to be dangerous. And so some forget that part of the message. And they try to sell this wonderful, it's all heavenly, it's all beautiful, it's just going to be great. If you're struggling with anything, it must be your sin. You know, Jesus would never send you in anything that will cause you trouble or anything like that. We're going to talk about that in a moment, how sometimes it's just the fact that we are a Christian that causes us some trouble. So it's not going to be easy. They don't tell you, while they're telling you he loves you, he saves you, he'll fix your problems, he'll bless you, they don't tell you that the great command is to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, nothing above him. And that if you love him, you'll obey his commands. They also, when they say that he'll fix your problems, they don't tell you that he fixes your problems as he deals with your heart and your sin. Yeah, a lot of the problems, he doesn't just take it and go, you've messed your life up. Let me fix this for you and fix it and give it back. There are some things, man, he does in your heart. He has removed addictions. He has removed certain things from people's lives. Maybe the struggle would be too much for them, but there's some things that God just removes. But there are a lot of things that we struggle through. And they're for our good. They're for our benefit to strengthen us and to let us be a witness to the world, so that we overcome. And as he points out the sin, the things that we're doing wrong, it helps us to overcome and to fix the things that are wrong in our life. I remember when I was in air conditioning refrigeration, you try to troubleshoot a problem, and troubleshooting electricity can be kind of crazy, you know? And so you're troubleshooting everything. I just don't get it. So you just blow on things, tighten some screws, shut the panel, and you're like, all right, I don't know. And you kick it on. It's like, wait, it started. I don't know what I did. It happens. In your life, there are things you try to fix. You think you know how. You go to counseling. You go to this and you go to that and you seek everybody for it. And all God wants to do is, all right, let's go. It's fixed. hey, I'm the Lord. But we have to submit ourselves to Him. We have to turn the screw when He says to, even if it doesn't make sense. All right, I need to really get my meter out and check this out, but you turn the screws, all right, turn the screws, shut the panel, blow it out. That's it. But we have to submit ourselves to Him. And as you do that, God fixes things. They just get fixed. But it's as sin is dealt with. And yes, He does bless. God does bless us. But it's balanced also with consequences for disobedience. When we do things wrong, even though we're Christians, Scripture says He chastens those He loves. We experience consequences. Sometimes we experience consequences for smaller things because we should know better. And for some reason or other, we can't get by with as much. People are watching us. We've let people know we're a Christian. So one guy can zoom in, traffic, but you can't. Why? I remember this because there was a time in my life where I just felt like the Lord, I don't put things on my cars, but there was one time He told me, it was like, I want you to get the ichthys and put it on your vehicle. I had heard what the ichthys is. It's the little fish. For those of you who didn't know, what is that? The little fish. So I'm like, well, all right. That was a big step of faith for me because I don't put stuff on my car. Like, all right, I really love You, Lord. So I don't put stuff on my car. So I get it. And here's what I found. Whenever I would zoom in front of people, I'd go, oh man, I've got the ichthys on my car, man. I went to a club with some friends. You been there? Yeah. I pull in, I get out of the vehicle, bam, all right, we're going to go dancing. I look, and as I leave my car, I got the ichthys. So I'm like, should I go home? What should I do? I could peel it off. You know. So what did I do as a sinner? I pull out, and I back it in. I was still growing in the Lord. I thank God for His grace because we do some foolish things like that. But that ichthys, it really exposed a lot of things. If I had never done that, it's not a big deal. I'm not telling you go out and get an ichthys. We don't sell them in our bookstore. We're not going to sell them in our bookstore. But it was something little, like tweaking the screws. I said, do this. Didn't make sense, but I did it, and it exposed a whole lot in me. And it fixed some things. God will fix things. We need balance. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to use wisdom. And it also, when they say He'll save you, I'll just give your life to the Lord, and He'll save you. Look, He saves you. That give your life to the Lord part means let Him be Lord. You guys have a boss. If you work for anyone, you have a boss. They're, in a small way, Lord. They tell you what time to be there. They tell you what time not. They tell you when your lunch is based upon contract that you guys agreed upon. And then you have to abide by that. If you don't, you could get fired. Well, He's big L, Lord, of your life. Your boss, you go home after 4 o'clock or the end of the day, I'm on my own. But not with the Lord. He's the Lord of your life. Your finances, your thoughts, your thoughts. He says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You can't even sit and think on certain things without Him going, I know what you were just. We're thinking the wrong thoughts. To let Him be Lord. Francis Chan talked about the way that we do things in the church today and how it's as simple as just invite Jesus into your heart. Just say this after me. Jesus, come into my heart. I repent of my sin. And you say a bunch of things and maybe you're emotional and you cry. He says, is that the biblical model for coming to faith in Christ? Now, we do that. There's nothing wrong with allowing people the opportunity to make a public profession of their faith. I did it. And I look back at that with a great love and memory. It was a challenge for me to come forward like that. But it doesn't mean just because you cry and come forward and stand and do a prayer that you meant it. Because sometimes we don't know what we're getting into. See, we are called to follow Jesus. Jesus calls and we say yes or no to following him. We don't just invite him into our heart and carry him around like an insurance card in the back of our pocket to go with us and be pulled out whenever I need him. He calls us to follow him. So if your intent is not to begin following him, then maybe you were touched emotionally. That's good. You're moved. You want to follow him. I've been there. But until you decide and determine in your heart, he should be Lord, because he is, and you determine to follow him, well, you won't be like Zacchaeus, who Jesus said, salvation has surely come to this home. So they don't tell you that. They also don't tell you that trials will come just because you're a Christian. You may lose friends because there's a difference now in you, in what you used to do and how you used to think, what you used to entertain. You'll lose friends and even family. You will become a marked person because as your light begins to shine, even the people who are close, at first they'll go, oh, that's good. You needed something. Whoa, you needed something for a while. But and I think that's good. But then as your light begins to shine, then they will say, okay, you're getting too religious now. You're too much light, too much bright, too much church. And they won't like it and they will begin to separate from you. So we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Why? A couple of reasons. One, to avoid unnecessary conflict. We need to be careful. The world will be antagonistic and we can't be drawn into arguing because no one has ever won someone to Christ by an argument, by arguing, and no one has ever represented the Lord well when they get into an argument. And then two, to protect our witness, because we don't look good when we stand and argue. So we're to act that way, but he says, verse 17, but beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So there will be public persecution in the life of a believer. It says they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues. He's speaking to Jews about the fact that as they ministered to the Jews, the Jewish councils and those who represent the synagogues will hear this as heresy and they will deliver them for punishment. So he says that's going to happen. They're going to deliver you up. They're going to scourge you in their synagogues. And he says you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to the Gentiles. Okay, now we're expanding. He mentions Gentiles. If you remember back in verse 5, he's told this group, you're not to go to the Gentiles. You're not to go to the Samaritans, you're not to go to the Gentiles, you're only going to go to the lost sheep of Israel. And now he's talking about Gentiles. What is up? What's going on here? Well, here's what's happening. Jesus knows that this small trial run right now, this basic training mission, is going to grow. It's going to blossom and it's going to become bigger than this. Jesus sees the future. He's looking beyond the one trip toward trips to come. Like when they train you in for war, they'll train you. And though you're dodging fake bullets and you have a tendency to go half-hearted through the motions, they're saying, look, if you don't get down all the way, you will get shot. They will be real bullets. And they tell you something beyond the training. That's what Jesus is doing. He's telling them something beyond the training. Be serious. Be ready. Be wise.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store under Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.